Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, better known as Invisible Gardener. Thank you for stopping by to see my show. I hope you'll like it. There's lots of information you're going to get today. So let me see if I have everything setting right. You know, share computer sound, very important. And here we go. Those of you that are already listening in, I'll try to fill you in on what you see. Let's see if it's working. Very quiet right now. I'm scared. Oh, I'm supposed to be saying something, aren't I? Yeah. That's me. I'm supposed to be saying something. Like, you know, welcome to the show. Today we're going to be doing all these things on my show. This is, you know, that kind of stuff. But I do have a lot of video. I have EcoCat, a bunch of other things all lined up for you. It says Don't Panic with Organic with Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener. The video. I think that's right. I'm not really sure now. So what I did here was, is that those of you that want to call me, the number is 888-627-6008. Even though I do these, I pre-taped the show, a lot of it. And anytime you can call and I'll stop at the video. And I'll talk to you, right? So it's 888-627-6008. It's a direct number of 323-744-4831. The preferred way, if you just click on join in live via Zoom, this meeting number, you just click on it. And if you have Zoom, it'll automatically open up. You say you open Zoom. If you don't have Zoom, it'll ask you to download it. And Zoom is a great tool to use nowadays, you know. When you can't go anywhere, this is a good way to still get together. And this way you can talk to me, I can see you, you can show me pictures of sick plants or whatever, you know, and we can work from there. Okay. Speaker. Should be moving. It is. There you go.
Look at that pretty butterfly. Wow. Look at that one over there. Ooh, I'm like, oh, hi. This is Andy EcoCat. How are we doing today? So, here we are again. Oh, I got to get the mic in the right place. Hang on a second. There we go. The mic is moving. Yep. So, here we are again. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is Andy EcoCat. As you know, I'm going to be doing a new show every day now in the morning. And then you have it all day to listen to it, watch it. Okay? So today I'm talking about mycelium. And I'm just going to read you the article that I wrote. And we'll take it from there. Okay? All right. So evolution is a beautiful name. All things evolve over time from its mistakes, learning from its mistakes and producing a better functioning being. Humans have evolved from fungi over millions of years. While we evolved into the two-legged creatures with their brain of today, we also kept what worked well for the fungi. Take a look at the mycelial network of fungi and take a look at the micrograph of brain cells, and you will see how neurons travel through the network highways. In humans, we like to think of ourselves as aware beings, but we rarely think of fungi as a conscious being. While in fact, it is as much aware as we are, if not even more so. Even more interesting is how the fungi have evolved and how humans have evolved. While the fungi chose to be tied to the earth, humans evolved. Evolution took them into being a part yet dependent on the earth. Somewhere in the evolutionary path, humans were connected to the ground in many ways that they're not connected now. All living things have a connection to this fungi. Insects, plants, obviously, because they have roots which are intertwined with the mycelium, animals, birds, and humans. However, humans developed their brain into what it is today. In the beginning, while mankind was still young, humans relied on the connection that they had with this fungi. They learned to observe their fellow animals and insects. They learned to listen to the trees, the forest actually. They will feel the fungi. They will learn to smell for the results of the fungi produced. The forest has a different smell after the rain. The plants smell different. They also look different to the trained eye, like, for example, an ant. Insects developed a relationship with the fungi. The ants grow it underground as a primary food source and as well as for healing. Insects have evolved right along with the fungi over millions of years that have cohabitated. In my past articles, I often talk about bricks and how insects actually can determine if a plant has high or low bricks levels. Yes, insects have no idea what brick means, let alone understand our primitive way of communicating. They have evolved to know when a plant is sick and thus become food for them, just like the wolf knows when a sheep is weak and sick. Many folks keep asking me about bricks and what it is. To make a long story short, brick relates to the mineral levels in plants. It refers to a particular type of sugar levels which relate to mineral levels also. Mineral levels in plants and animals are directly related to mycelium and how mycelium breaks down minerals by using oxalic acid and calcium oxalate. The mycelium forms oxalic acid crystals, which are formed by all the mycelia of the fungi. The mycelium mineralizes rock, as in rock dust, and by combining with the minerals naturally found in the rock dust. The calcium from the calcium oxalate forms two carbon dioxide molecules. This develops into a complex food web that continues to grow and eats more minerals found in the rock dust, thus creating soils that are rich in the proper minerals needed by plants and all living beings. Another interesting thing that we must understand is that if you look into space, you will also notice that space resembles mycelium fungi, only millions of times larger. Another interesting thing about space is dark matter. Dark matter, which many say is invisible, is actually very visible when one learns how actually to look. A computer model of this dark matter shows us the resemblance to the mycelium matrix. Okay, let me explain to you what I see and what I understand about all of this. First of all, we are not actually the smartest being on the planet. Mycelium is. It has been evolving hundreds of millions of years longer than us. It has patterned itself to the galaxies. While we humans have managed to separate ourselves from the interconnection of all, mycelium have actually continued to grow and communicate with itself around the world. One being here. I'm talking about one being here, as well as with the universe. Humans have managed to separate themselves from the whole. We still have the same pathways, the same senses that the mycelium have. While what this means to me is that we can communicate with this being that lives inside the earth, whose skin is the topsoil. I have a radio show called The Body in the Garden, in which myself and a doctor talk about the similarities between our bodies and the Earth's body. There are tiny differences, except one, and that is we can move far beyond the boundaries of the soil. We are tied to the soil and the health of the mycelium in many ways. I said I would explain how trees communicate with each other. Well, can you guess by now how they can communicate? Can you sense the direction I'm going here? I learned to meditate early in life, but I did not know that it was called that. I was always able to sit down under a tree and listen. The tree would show me that it was aware. I would be able to feel it was happy. I would be able to feel that something was wrong with another tree. I knew that trees helped each other. I always would go to the most powerful tree in the forest, still do, and pay my respects by hugging and just sitting. The mycelium is a major communication highway for all living things, for us too. The mycelium and the environment are one. You can tell a lot about the environment you live in by the health of the mycelium. That is why I started one of my shows called It's Alive way back in the 1970s. More on this next tomorrow, okay? So it'll be more on this in the next show. And so, thank you very much. And I'm going to, hi there. You there? Hello? Hi. I was watching that butterfly. Oh, it was really weird. You know, did you see that? Wow. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. Here's one of my latest songs. Happy growing now, organically, of course. Bye. Ooh.
One of the places that I work at, I've been working at there since 1984. It's right by the beach. That's called a stone pine tree. It's the only stone pine definitely in Malibu, called stone pine. There, that's what it says. And I've been there since 84. Most of the stuff you see got put in by moi. I think it's Bill Moi. No, it's different people done the rock work, and you know, I just do the trees and the plants. This is a native grass called Nomo. I'm assuming everything's working, otherwise the engineer would have said something by now, otherwise it would be a big chat thing, something red would be flashing somewhere. You know, they always have ways of telling them, warning, warning. These are flowers, frangipani. She's been working on it for years. I think she's finally almost done. I can get it. I said, finally almost done. So I do a spraying service. I spray and I provide nutrients to the soil. So throughout the shows, I explain to you what I'll be spraying and what I'll be applying. Like here, I use a Zeta Gardenia mix because it's made from earthworm castings and a shaved tree bark.
This is ants growth. Too much water. Thank you.
So if you was watching it on video, wouldn't have to tell you anything because you'd be looking at roses. You see the lawn. You see, you know, how beautiful the place is. Otherwise, on the audio version, you probably only hear the music. So, and you know, this is something really easy for you to do because whether you're on your iPhone, your cell phone, whatever type of phone you're on, or on, whether you're on your laptop or your desktop, it's really easy to download Zoom. It's free, and you get the video. You get to see everything too. I rest a lot. Nothing wrong with resting. This is all my music too, by the way. Another place I go to, or used to go to, in Ojai, after the fires the people left. They had about 20 or 30 different varieties of fruit trees, from plums like we're looking at now. A lot of them weren't being taken care of properly. It's bringing them back to life. I also do a lot of work on people's lawns, natural lawn. What I spray is called Super Seaweed. It's a microbiological activator. No idea what that plant was.
Talking about coffee. going to clarify some things. So in one of my recent videos, how to make your own organic fertilizer, I talk about using coffee. So I have notes, so I want to go over every single one of them. First of all, certified organic. Yes, you want to buy certified organic coffee. Only because, if not for no other reason, than you're supporting the organic movement. At the same time, you're limiting the amount of pesticides and chemicals, herbicides, fungicides that are used in growing coffee. The main question that people have asked me is using coffee. What about chemically grown coffee and GMO coffee? So let me explain to you something really fast about GMOs and coffee. First of all, there's no GMO coffee on the market. They are working on GMO coffee. Actually, they're going to try to come up with GMO decaffeinated coffee that's already decaffeinated. And they realize that caffeine is what protects the plants, so they know you're going to have to use more chemicals to protect the decaffeinated beans, but they're not available on the market yet, but they will. But here's the thing. When you roast a coffee, you kill any of the living organism, GMO organism. Secondly, when you brew it, you make sure that there are no living things left in there at all. Also, too, in terms of the chemicals, you're aware that when you brew the coffee, you're actually getting the chemicals in your coffee, because there's very little chemicals left in the coffee grinds, whether it's chemically grown, organically grown, GMO. Thirdly, if you do have GMO products, you know, GMO coffee, and you put it in your compost, the bacteria will eat it, and it will be something completely different. And another question people have asked me is about earthworms. What happens if you feed GMO coffee to earthworms? Again, by the time you get the grinds, you have already drank all the chemicals, and you already have all the live GMO products, GMO cells in your body. The roasting and brewing alone has killed it. But the earthworms will tell you, if you feed your coffee grinds to the earthworms and they die, I would say toxic, bad. Something's still in that coffee grinds that kills. Okay, so then, moving on to the next part. I wrote down, I mentioned composting, okay, because ideally you want to, you can compost it. I buy, for example, this coffee is from my organic coffee store, place up in Malibu. I don't go to the chemically grown places, and you know a lot of them. One of them ends with the bucks. But one of the reasons, too, that you have to take into account is, did you know that the chemical that's used to clean the coffee machines are 10 times more toxic than any pesticide or herbicide that you could ever use to grow the stuff? And you're actually getting that in your drink. So that's one reason. Even if you go to this place, right, and say, I want that organically grown coffee, you need to ask them, what are you brewing and cleaning the device with? Okay, so that kind of puts a little problem in getting organically grown coffee. It's the ideal scenario is buy it and brew it yourself. Okay, so then, remember, 99.9% of the chemicals, pesticide, GMO, in the coffee, it's already been killed either through roasting or brewing, okay?
Hear your soil and make you laugh too, so don't panic. Oh, it's organic. No chemicals to make you sick.
In my notes I got here, okay, there's several different reasons you need to understand why you use coffee. Many people have emailed me, different professors from colleges, saying, I don't like it that you're telling people that coffee is a fertilizer. Nowhere in the video does it say that coffee is a fertilizer. I say how to make your own coffee, and there's a reason, how to make your own organic fertilizer. And the reason why we use coffee grounds in that mixture is because it's an acidic mixture. This mixture will help your soil to acidify, bring your pH down, make your minerals available. One of the advantages of using organically grown coffee as opposed to chemically grown coffee is supposed to be more minerals in it. That's what you want, more minerals. So there are different reasons why you do the compost. One is you put coffee grounds in the soil. You put it in the soil for the pH, but you're also putting it for pest control because it will get rid of snugs and snails and variety of other creatures in there, as well as it will deter animals. You put coffee grinds around your roses, it will keep the deer away. You can make it as a spray. The reason why you make it as a spray is two reasons. One, you want to get the acidic, if you make a second batch of coffee with this mixture, make a liquid out of it and spray it, you basically are foliar feeding the plants with whatever minerals it's in the coffee, plus also giving it a nice acid bath. Another reason why you spray is because if you happen to get a bug on it, you will kill it. The cameraman, he can't be on camera, but he's voice will. Okay.
Andy, what happens to the nutrients when you boil the coffee and leave the grinds?
Okay, so Jeff says, what happens to the nutrients when you boil the coffee and use the grinds? Okay, so the coffee itself won't have any nitrogen. Anything that's soluble, it won't, will go in the coffee grind, in the brew that you're drinking, okay? But most of the minerals, whether it be iron, magnesium, copper, those are not soluble things. They have to be broken down by something specific. In our case, the bacteria is what breaks it down into those minerals that then are available. The poo-poo of the bacteria is that mineral that's in the form that's available. So that's your answer to your question is, yeah, okay, so you basically are getting a caffeine form of you're not getting much minerals and stuff in that coffee, you know, the brew. You're basically going to get the coffee, so that's what you're doing, it's caffeine. And if it's a chemical grown, you're going to get lots of chemicals that was grown in it. Yes, you'll end up in your coffee, you can test it. But that's one reason why you take the coffee grinds and you run it through the compost so that the bacteria get at it. One of the reasons why we put it in the ground is to acidify the soil, but as it becomes, the soil will break it down. The natural bacteria that we put in the soil, that's what our liquid drench is. My super seaweed is basically a microbiological activator. Basically, it's liquid bacteria in a liquid form that we put into the ground. The bacteria will break it down into a form assimilated by the plants. And I think that that covers this for one thing. Okay, so we're talking about coffee, and we're talking about spraying coffee to kill bugs or as a deterrent. You really talk about caffeine. So one day I'm thinking about, gee, if we're talking about caffeine, shouldn't we use the strongest caffeine? So I looked it up in the place called, I think it's Caffeine or Us, or it's tells you all the different caffeine levels in the various different drinks. A cup of coffee, if it's a fine drip, organically grown coffee, will have 175 milligrams of caffeine in it. Any of the coffee you buy out in the stores and stuff has about 100 milligrams of caffeine in it. The Monster drinks and those drinks with the caffeine boost, maybe you're lucky to get 100 milligrams of caffeine out of it. So I said, well, what has the most caffeine everywhere? It's called, I covered the label up, it's called cold pressed coffee. This bottle here is 16 fluid ounce, which is basically not even two cups of coffee if you were going to drink it straight. Not even that. Over 1,000 milligrams of caffeine. 1,000 milligrams of caffeine. You're supposed to take one of these that makes 6 cups of coffee. This thing makes 6 cups of coffee, it says here. 2 parts water, 1 part of the caffeine concentrate. So this has 1,000 units of caffeine. So you can add this to a gallon of water, you will have yourself an incredible mixture that will kill any insect on contact, including beneficial, so therefore you just don't go nuts and spray it everywhere. But it will kill whiteflies, it will kill a wide variety of soft-bodied insects on contact. And unfortunately, I said on contact because, not really, they go through this kind of thing for a little while, okay, because the caffeine gets in their system, the caffeine destroys their system. And that's why we use the caffeine in the coffee in the ground for snails and slugs. Imagine a slug coming, or a snail, you know. A little coffee in them, I gotta go now! You know, they definitely don't like it, but this does disrupt. Putting it in the ground does disrupt their egg laying, but using the caffeine as a spray will kill them on contact, and of course it's just plain. In the back, interesting, it says, filtered water, fair trade, certified organic coffee. Otherwise, you should just be spraying a concentrate of the pesticides and the chemicals. So that's it for today. We're over here on the farm. We're taking care of some plums, nectarines.
says Andy Lopez in Glendora, the secret to growing organically. The workshop I gave in Glendora.
And a bug can tell when the plant's stressed out. So when something's really growing fast, it attracts bugs left and right for miles and miles. They will come. Whiteflies will attack your plants. All kinds of other creatures, scales, diseases, funguses will go nuts. See, all from the high nitrogen. That's what the urea is all bad about. Population kills the natural bacteria. And it's really the urea changes the bacteria in the soil. They're not used to getting 45% urea. They're getting maybe 1%. So you give them so much, like people, you take all this sugar, right? You're going to go, whoo-hoo, whoopee, right? That's what's happening with it. And it attracts the bugs. So that's the law of cause and effect. So if you stop using the Miracle-Gro and start using something that's more natural with minerals, because that's what's happening, so you're having a trace mineral deficiency. It goes right back down to trace mineral deficiency, you see? And if you're deficient in any one trace mineral, then that causes stress, and then the bugs are keyed into that. See, the way you control the bugs and the diseases is you have all diseases are soil-borne diseases. The soil-borne diseases. That means that the disease starts in the soil. That means that that good guy and the bad guys don't live in the same place. So it means that the good guy is not there because the bad guy is taking over, right? You see, so if you keep using Miracle-Gro and all these type of high nitrogen fertilizer, the bacteria that's there changes, and it becomes a super monster bacteria. And it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. See, bacteria are supposed to eat the minerals. Bacteria eat first. Organic gardening, you feed the soil. You feed the bacteria, and the poo-poo of the bacteria is supposed to be the food for the plants. You see, whereas chemically, you bypass the bacteria, you go right to the plants. It's like having intravenous. Imagine if I was just intravenously, that's all I ate. I ate that. I didn't eat this way. How long will I last? Even though the food, it's supposed to be food that I'm getting in my body, my stomach and everything will start shrivel up. I'll start to die because I wasn't meant to be eating in that way. Right? You see, astronauts are trying to figure it out. I think maybe we better grow some vegetables on this spaceship because we can't keep eating these tubes this way. Okay? So it's a trace mineral of things. More than likely, you're probably not adding the right things to the soil to bring it to make it healthier. And that basically means two things. You know, like rock dust. You know what rock dust is? She does, but you don't. See? Okay? And that's what you need to do.
Rock?
Something rang. When ding. It's called rock dust. And that's the source of minerals. Yeah. It's a whole chapter on it. And basically, it's rocks finally ground up into a fine powder. Mother Nature, every few thousand years, 10,000 years, has an ice age. The glaciers come and they grind everything up into a fine powder, then they retreat back again. Remineralizes everything. That's why Earth wants to have an ice age now, because it's due for a remineralization. You see what I'm saying? We've done more damage to the trees in the last 50 years, to the world's trees, than all of humankind has done in 10,000 years. Okay? It's the trees. I like to, you know, in California we say it's the cheese. Well, I like to say it's the trees. You know, I can get carried away and I forgot what I was talking about. But rock dust, mineralized, is very important. That's why the two things that is important, you know, even for ants, for diseases, is bacteria and the minerals. See, you have those things working together, everything falls into place. You know, for example, on the lawn, okay, you can't have a luscious green lawn without any weeds, naturally. But you can't do it if you're using high nitrogen fertilizer. If you can't do it, if the soil, you know what pH is? Do you all know what pH is? Okay, so the pH level is very, very important because bacteria only live in the good guys only live in a certain range of pH. Outside of that, they're not going to be there. All the other guys are going to be there, right? So you need the bacteria, but then the bacteria has to eat the minerals. No minerals, you got bacteria, it doesn't work. You got minerals, no bacteria, it doesn't work. You got to have the two together so they can eat, the bacteria can eat the minerals, and then the plants get the food. Okay? So when you're having a trace mineral deficiency, right off the bat, your pH is wrong. I bet you if you have your test your pH, same thing when you have ants, you have massive amounts of ants, or any type of disease, like on your roses or anything, first thing you do is test your pH of your soil. You need to have it slightly acid. That's the bacteria. They live in a pH of 6, well, 6 is the lowest, but 6.2, 6.3, 6.4, 6.5. 6.5 is the magic number. If you have a pH of 6.5, Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have the bacteria, see, because you got the city water killing the bacteria. So if you're lucky, you have the pH of 6.5, no bacteria, and you have minerals, it still doesn't work.
Isn't this a beautiful flower? Did you know it's also a natural pest control? We're here today in Pacific Palisades, California, to meet Andy Lopez. Andy's a specialist in natural pest control. Let's go meet Andy and see if we can talk him out of some of his secret recipes for controlling insects naturally. Well, I'll tell you, Andy, I'm looking at all these ingredients here and I'm wondering if we're having lunch or if we're making insect sprays. What's happening here?
Well, one of the things you'll find in the garden and in your home environment is ants. Everybody's got an ant problem, okay, more or less. If you control your ant problems, you'll control over 75% of the problems in the garden.
Now, why is that?
Ants like to get into everything. You know, they do. They believe in the numbers. Ants are a very highly advanced society. I started into ants in the sixth grade. I bought an Uncle Malcolm's ant farm. You know what that is?
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, the little clear plastic thing. There's a label in there that says, send this for ants. And I said, I don't need to order ants. I got plenty of ants. That was the whole purpose of it, see? So in the sixth grade, that was a strange year for me. I mean, instead of doing phys ed, I got into a vegetable garden. I was the only male amongst all the ladies doing a garden. The guy thought I was up to something. And I go, he's up to something, you know? And then that was the year I blew up my garage. I bought one of those chemistry sets, blew it up. It says, do not mix everything. I was in the mood of, it says, do not do, I did it. You know, wet paint, do not sit, I would sit, you know. And so I blew up the garage.
Is that how you became invisible?
Well, it's a starting process. And then I bought a beehive. I cut a wall in the kitchen, put a beehive in it with a clasp. Then somehow I decided I wanted to do the ant thing. Well, actually what happened was my mother was spraying Raid. Every week she would spray Raid. We were all, the five of us, and my dad, and my cat, and the ants, and everybody will sit in the front yard while my mom would be spraying whatever was in there. I mean, I would see the ants. They're all been sitting there going, phew, in there, right? And I said, well, what is it the ants are looking for? Food and water. So I figured, well, I was just going to feed them. So I bought Uncle Malcolm's ant farm. On the other side of the kitchen, I cut a wall, put the ant farm there. Well, immediately the ants started coming over to the beehive to steal the honey. And I started, you know, so I had to teach them how to live in harmony together. And ever since then, I became an ant expert. Remember, this is in the sixth grade, and people will call me up, Andy, I want you to come over and help me control my ants. So I said, you know what you feed a 10,000-pound gorilla? Anything he wants to eat, right?
Right.
So ants actually outweigh a 10,000-pound gorilla. You know, they, I mean, if you actually, I don't know how they figured it out. They figured that it takes a million ants, dead ants, to make a pound. I don't know how to figure it out, you know.
But it's a job I wouldn't know.
Yeah, you know, so I started feeding ants and see what they want. And I developed what I call ant cafes. All it is a little birdhouse.
Ant cafes.
I call them ant cafes. I used to call them ant bars. But I give talks and kids, I go to schools, and I tell the kids to adopt an ant farm, learn about the ants. Because ants are very smart. They're smarter than human beings. They don't have homeless. They don't have wars. You know, if they do have a war, it's just some skirmish over this. Lately, you know, the ants used to fight each other. Now the ants are getting together. They have many queens working together. They have lawyers, doctors, farmers, you name it. They do, honest, I swear.
Lawyers?
Lawyers, everything. I don't know. It gets a little fetched. But I'm just saying they're a very advanced society, you know. They really are. They're very smart. And I swear that every month they have a meeting. Say, this is where the food is and this is where the stuff is. So I started feeding them. And all I've done is I basically got a plastic cup,
right?
Put it inside, and I call it Dances with Ants. It's in my first chapter of the book.
Dances with ants.
You remember the dances with wolf? You have to, yes. How that person started to communicate with that wolf was the same thing with the ants. I tell the kids and I tell people, hey, it's alive. It has an intelligence. Just because you don't know what it's saying and he doesn't know what you're saying doesn't mean that we're not, you know, that something's not alive and it doesn't have an intelligence. You know how you get to a man? Through their stomach, right? It was the same thing with the ants. That's how you get their attention. There's two ways to get attention.
You invite them to the ant cafe.
There's two ways to get attention. You kill someone, you kill the ants, or you feed them. Either way, you're going to get their attention, okay? So I tell people, this killing thing has got to stop. We have to learn about how to live in harmony with things. And certain pests get out of hand, you want to get their attention, you know. So feeding them is what the ants are looking for. They're coming in the house for food and water, right?
Right.
Right? So first thing we do, I call it that's why we call it Dancer's Rhythm. There are steps you have to take. People say, I want to go straight to step five. It doesn't work. You have to follow them in a logical way. First step is you have to follow the ants to see where they're coming, you know, where their trail is at, how they're coming in your house, sort of observe them. And I swear you have to sort of be sneaky. They'll go,
yeah.
Because as soon as you know they know you're looking, they disappear. I don't know if you ever noticed that, but as soon as you start, where do they go? They're gone. One lady called me up and says, I'm whispering because they're listening in. You know, I said, come over quick. I came over, they were gone. So I said, oh, look, go over to the store and call me from there and we'll sneak up on them. You know what I mean? It's really funny. I've been doing this for years. You know, I said, one lady says they're swarming. They're massive lines. I said, walk around your block, and sure enough, it was a pest control company spraying. Because the ants will go from where there's chemicals to where there aren't chemicals. That's one of the problems. If you're not using any chemical, your neighbor's spraying, guess where they're going
to
go?
They're going to come to
over
your
here,
house.
Hang out. Says, hey, this is great. Smoke a cigar, whatever it takes, you see? Okay, so that's one of the problems, you know? So basically, you want to feed the ants, okay? In the beginning, I learned ants love honey. And I, from experience, I experimented, and I used to use other things. One day I used pancake syrup and had preservatives and something, and they wouldn't touch it. They won't touch anything that's preserved out of the food coloring. Maybe they know something, right? So they usually like honey. You know, they're either into protein or honey. One of the products I buy is called Drax. 5% boric acid, mainly is apple mint.
Now, what does this do?
Well, the boric acid will kill them. The boric acid will kill them. One of the things that you have to learn is that if you have an infestation of anything, something's out of balance. Like with the ants, whenever you have a billion trillion ants, it's out of balance.
Wrong.
You have to reduce their population down. Okay. So at the same time, I teach people two things. You know, be considerate of other living things, and only kill as a last resort. Only as a last resort. Okay. La 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 la. Yeah, beautiful day today. Oh. What a bird. Well, oh, hi there. This is Andy Eco Cat. How are we doing today? So, I've gotten a lot of comments and suggestions on this show. I've also gotten some questions. So remember, you want me to answer your question, you can send it to Andy Lopez at InvisibleGardener.com. Okay? All right. You can also go to the same website, InvisibleGardener.com, and inquiry. There's lots of ways there for you to send me email. Okay, so let me give my little statement here. Oh, one eye is looking. Oh, yeah. I'm hot. I'm hot, baby. Oh, yeah. I'm hot. Okay. Rub my eye here. Uh-huh. Okay. Are your avocado trees dropping fruit? I've gotten a lot of calls and emails about this lately, especially living here in a small village called Malibu. Yeah, the other day it got up to 100 degrees, first time it ever has done that. The last article that we talked about was, if it's more hotter, does it mean more water? Of course, I said no. So here, let me read this column. The column is also available on my blog and here. So recently I've been getting lots of emails and calls about avocado trees dropping all or almost all of their avocados. Let me explain what I see is happening and what you need to do to correct it. First off, I notice that most of you guys, let me see. It might up a little more. Okay, better. Okay, first off, I noticed that most of you guys and gals have not been adequately fertilizing your fruit trees. Some of you have not even been watering them at all, saying, I never had to water this tree before, and it's over 30 years old. Nor has the person fertilized it at all. We both agree that it was getting nutrients and water from the nearby sewer leach system. So why the problem now? As it turns out, the tree was also getting water from the nearby stream.
Most folks in Malibu live near a stream that runs down to the ocean. All of Malibu is crossed with these streams. In one case, the stream was dammed upstream from them, and the stream is dying out and not running. Some streams usually run all year long here. What they mainly do, besides providing proper habitats for birds, fishes, etc., is replenish the underground river system Malibu has, or any other place for that matter. It is these underground rivers that all of Malibu trees rely upon for their water, like I said, anywhere else. Their root system goes down deep and taps into the water system. They drink when they need water. It's silly to say that trees do not need water. They do. They just figured out how to get it on their own. Take this away and the tap roots start to die. When this happens, it's a major shock to any tree. Avocado trees show this shock. Avocado trees show this shock by dropping their fruit. So would any other fruit tree. The tree realizes it can't continue to care for their fruit and itself at the same time, and it drops it. The same will happen if you overwater. You can tell the difference over or underwatering by the way the leaves look. It is overwatered if the leaf has its tip burned. Underwatering makes the leaves curl inward. 99% of the time, that's like almost all the time, folks are overwatering their fruit trees. Now the heat comes, and with the drought and mandatory water rationing, everyone is being told to cut back on their water use. So this year, folks did just that and reduced their overall water consumption again. Then comes the heat. Especially anything over 100 degrees in Malibu is unheard of here. It may not have happened here again for a long time. Malibu usually has a mellow climate, not going too far into the extremes, unlike the valley or other areas. We are blessed with our own underground water supply, which we need to better manage. So here is what happened to these folks' avocado trees. They cut back on watering. They did not apply anything to protect the soil from the heat. The heat comes so the gardener waters more. Add water to clay, then heat, and you get porcelain, or heart pan as it is called. What this means is that there's a layer of soil that has become hard and air and water does not pass through. Any roots below that will eventually die, and the tree will die also. This will happen, say, when you water your lawn every day for a few minutes. Yes, it waters the top inch or so, but nothing goes down deep where it should be. In the past, I have stated that you need a lawn for many reasons. A drought-tolerant lawn does nothing to help the trees that are on the lawn. Fake grass does neither, but makes it hotter both days and nights while destroying the soil underneath it. We both need lawns and trees, especially fruit trees. You should have two separate watering systems, one for your trees, different lines for fruit trees and trees, because they need different watering also, and one system for your lawn. While you should water your lawn only twice a week, your fruit trees will require deep watering once a week. Yes, they will also get the shallow watering of the lawn. This deep watering will go a long way to keeping your trees healthy and stress-free. You know, if you just water the trees like you water the lawn. It makes the tree and the lawn lazy. They have shallow root systems. And so you don't water for a few days and they die. Not good. Eventually the tree will die because the tree needs deeper root systems. So does your lawn. You must assign your property to catch any rain if you are lucky enough to get it. It will rain when you least expect it. We will be getting more and more storms coming our way. We need to capture those water in as many ways as we can, from developing natural lakes that hold the rain so we can use it, to installing underground tanks that catch and hold the rain for later use, to digging wells around plants, digging water barriers around your property to catch and slowly allow the water to seep down into the soil. We must direct the water not out to the ocean, but down to our underground aquifers. We must learn how to protect the soil from the heat. Use rock dust, compost, and mulch in that order, because you want to add a little bit of organic fertilizer to it. Mulching with just wood chips will not adequately help the soil and may become a fire hazard. You should build up layers of alternating compost and a nice mulch. I know one person that has her gardener remove the leaves and throw them away. Bad. Then she pays to bring them back. The leaves all that fall are a crucial part of the health of the soil and the trees and everything that grows on it. Please do not let your soil dry up to the point that you have a hard pan. Adding water to a hard pan soil is a waste of water. It will just run off. Removing hard pan is not easy and it requires skill, and few have. So make it easy on yourself and always apply compost before you apply mulch. The compost will help the soil stay alive, and the mulch will help to keep the compost alive longer. If the soil is alive, so too will everything that grows on it be healthier and will be better off for it. So thank you very much for listening and or watching to this show. Remember, don't panic. It's organic. Bye. I guess we're done now, right? Can we go now? I'm hungry. I need some milk or maybe a little...
I have to tell you something about Eagle Cat. He grows catnip in his back porch. He's got boxes of that catnip growing everywhere. I don't know. I don't understand.
Oh, now, see you later. Bye. Right now, back again. Oh, boy. Hey, the music. Somebody put on the music. Bye, everybody. Bye. See you later. Have a nice day.
That's it, smile. That's it, doggy. Doggy. Before you start pruning, you want to, first of all, have good tools. Secondly, you have to understand that you spread diseases by using the tools, by not cleaning them. I went to a citrus that had a disease, and then I came to this one and pruned it. This one would get the disease too. Alcohol works real good. I like using my favorite cleaner, citrus product. It's called Orange TKO. It's a wonderful clean product. Doesn't have any controlling distillates in it. Use it for a lot of things. You're going to find out that I do use it for everything. But you can easily go and point it in the right direction. See? That'll kill all the diseases on contact. Then all you got to do is just wipe it off. And you just do that on a regular basis while you're pruning. That way you make sure you're not spreading any diseases. You also do that with roses, Any plant that you want to prune back, any disease plant you want to prune back, okay? So that's on Tool Care 101.
I like it when it's quiet, don't you? We have a few more minutes left. And so we're just going to keep going until it's time. I have to cut it about 2 minutes short because then I got to turn everything off, turn it back on again, and get ready for the next show, which is called The Cosmic Spaceship. You should know how to get to there by now, but if not, you can either get through here to bbsradio.com /cosmic spaceship, or if you go to my website, click on radio show, you'll see a button that says click here for Cosmic Spaceship. And then follow the instructions. You can get on Zoom. It gives you you can see it on Zoom, right? You can listen to it on your phone. You also have Zoom on your phone too. So I guess this is what must be a silent video because I don't hear anything at all. It's just saying natural palm care. It's like a silent ad. I suppose I should be talking out now, telling you what we're going to be doing next shows. We have lots of things lined up for you. I'm trying to set up some more guest speakers so they could be like a guest co-host, come on the show, talk about. So I have a person who makes compost, and I'm going to get the soil lab people back on again, and a few doctors and a few more farmers, all here on Don't Panic, It's Organic, with Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener. So I think I'm going to probably... another minute. I made the video so it would be perfect. So right now the video is running. I have no idea what I did because I do this all the time. There you go, see? But I'm going to probably go in a few seconds. So thank you very much. You guys, Nick, on the next show, Cosmic Spaceship. Okay, bye.